get right at it here, amen. So you better run back. Well, don't run, don't trip, amen. We don't want that, amen. If you're physically able, would you stand with me out of respect and reverence to God's holy word? I sure am glad that I have a Bible.
Amen.
I sure am glad. I sure am glad that I get to read the Bible every day, draw closer to God, get to know Him through His Word. What a blessing. We're going to read verses 14 through 18 of James chapter 5. And really, folks, we have one lesson left after tonight. And you pray for me. I've got a couple directions I'm thinking about going in. And we'll just see how the Lord leads. I know many of you do pray for me about that, and I certainly appreciate that. James chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 14, read through verse 18. I'll read the even-numbered verses. Would you read the two odd-numbered verses with me? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In our last lesson, we continued our study of God's wonderful resource of prayer. Part 3, amen. And by examining verses 14 through 16 in particular, James deals with prayer and healing. And I'll just go through these points quickly here. We went through them in our last lesson. A good lesson, I believe, a solid scriptural lesson there. We talked about the authority for prayer and healing. And that is simply found there in verse 14, that this one that was sick was to call for the elders of the church, and they were to come and pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then in verse 15, we looked at how the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So there's authority there. We talked about some assumptions of prayer and healing, and they were false assumptions, ladies and gentlemen, amen, for reasons why God hasn't healed people. Can I say this? Everyone that has been born of man and woman has died. Amen. Everyone that has. And so we talked about some assumptions. And then we talked about the age of prayer and healing. We talked about the particular age where miracles, when Jesus did miracles, when the apostles did miracles, they were authentications of the ministry. And we talked about those sign gifts that are talked about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and how they were until the Word of God is completed. Then that which is perfect is come. That which is in part shall be done away. Okay? So then we talked about the actual case of prayer and healing. Verses 14 through 16. This was a brother that had been disciplined, church disciplined, out of the church, was being chastened to the Lord by sickness, realizes the error of his ways, calls for the elders to come and pray over him that he would be healed. And then we talked about the Almighty and prayer and healing. And I put this quote in there again. It's such a good one. Maybe you want to think about it, study it, meditate upon it, by Brother John Phillips. He says, Jesus said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. His statement is, of course, conditioned by His will. 1 John chapter 5 says, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Okay, and then it says in Matthew 21:22, we have the broad and general rule for prayer. The rule is liberal. gracious and awesome in potential, but is qualified by just and reasonable limitations expounded elsewhere in the Scriptures. James chapter 4. You desire to have and lust and you have not. Luke chapter 22, 42. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Paul asked three times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. Did it get removed, ladies and gentlemen? But his grace was sufficient. Amen. And so that's for the lesson from last week. Okay, 3 points tonight. James concluded this series on prayer by examining three different aspects here in verses 14, but focusing on 16, 17, and 18. Number one, concerning prayer, connecting properly. Connecting properly. We see that there. One of the great privileges, one of the great privileges of living during the dispensation of grace that we live in, we call it the church age or the age of grace, is that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen? Thank God. But beyond that is the fact that Jesus Christ was judged for all of our sins. Amen? Part of that. But He gives us the privilege of self-judgment.
Yes.
And that's the verse there we have referenced there in 1 Corinthians 11:31. If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know, if we look at, and I've said this, God will chasten in three ways. He will chasten, first of all, through the Word. That's the best way to get spanked by God.
That's right.
If you will not listen to the Word, and you will bow your back, and you will stiffen your neck, God will not only use the Word, He'll use the woodshed. There's all kinds of woodshed ways that God can get our attention. And if you will not use the Word, and if God has used the woodshed over and over and over and over and over again, and you still will not get right, He'll use the wooden box. He'll take you home. There is a sin unto death. He that being oft reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy, Proverbs tells us. It's a whole lot better to judge ourselves. But what has happened here is there's a disobedient brother that's being dealt with here. And so we looked at connecting properly. Number one, the restoration sought. The restoration sought. This brother knows he's in error. He knows why he's sick. It's because of sin. And he calls, he wants to be restored to his church family. By the way, that's a wonderful thing. Be restored to your church family. I thank God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I thank God, even during my short 5 years, and some of you have been here 10, 15, 20, I hate to see anybody leave. And sometimes I feel like, my heavens, I could have handled that different, and I could have done a better job trying to reach out to them. And a pastor is always self-critical. You don't have to worry about your preacher getting prideful. I can promise you that right now. But I love it when they come back. I love it when they come back. And we get restored, amen? And praise God for it. So restoration sought. But then there's a requirement taught. What's the requirement taught there in verse 16? If we're going to truly have restoration, what has to happen? We have to confess our faults one to another. You know, it is still the stronger thing. You're not weak when you say, brother, I was wrong.
Yes.
Please forgive me.
Amen.
There's a dear couple in this room tonight. I did something so bonehead last year that it's beyond me. I was critical of somebody, and this couple, I said to them, please forgive me.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I was wrong. And you know what they said? We love you, Pastor.
Yeah.
You're forgiven.
Amen.
How would it have been if I said, no, I'm not wrong? I'd have been double wrong.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that relationship would have been severely damaged.
Amen.
Amen. So here is someone that's seeking restoration, and he's seeking it so much. It tells us here the requirement is to confess our faults. By the way, not your sins. No, sir. See, there's a whole doctrine that perverts this verse that says you have to come. Don't you come to me with your sins, because I can't do anything about them. You take them north. Amen. And that, when I say north, I don't mean to the UP. I mean north, where heaven is. Amen. The requirement taught here is that we would confess our faults one to another. We mentioned the verse in Matthew 5:23-24 where it says, if you come to the altar and realize that you have aught with your brother, leave that gift there, go be reconciled to your brother, and then bring that gift to the Lord. You know what that means is that gift's no good until you get right with your brother. Amen. So important here. Connecting properly. You are not going to have an effectual, fervent prayer life when you've got aught with a brother or sister. Not going to happen. You're putting up the umbrella for God's blessings and they're running right off. You're not getting any of them. So, connecting properly. The restoration saw, the requirement taught, I love this part, the relationship wrought. What does it say there in verse 16? Confess your faults, Miss Carol, one to another. How about that, huh? And then it says this, and pray one for another that you may be healed. What happens here when the restoration is sought and the requirement is met? What happens is there's that relationship. We can pray one for another. We can pray with one another. Amen. And so the relationship wrought there. And we reference Matthew 18:15. Where it talks about if your brother offends you, go to him and tell him his fault. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And where two or three shall agree in prayer as touching anything, it shall be done. But boy, when we're at aught, well, I'm not going to pray with him. I'm not talking to him. And that's okay. God's not talking with you either. Or he's not listening anyway. Connecting properly. Number two, continual potency. End of verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Three things here. Our prayers, number one, should be effectual and fervent. It carries the idea of strength, but effectual means, listen, effective. We want, Brother Abe and Brother Jim and I were just praying together, and one of the things I almost always try to do before I pray is say, Lord, please forgive me of sin. Especially sin that I don't even know about. You say, could you commit a sin that you don't even know about? Absolutely. You probably commit more sins by accident than you do on purpose. I want God to forgive that. Why? Because I want my prayers to be effective. Yeah. Forgive me, I just don't want to say words.
Yes.
I don't want Him to just hit the ceiling and come back down.
Yeah.
I want Him to be effective. I want Him to be strong. Amen. That's what it says here. The effectual, fervent prayer. So they should be effectual and fervent. Effectual there, we reference 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without what? Keep asking. But He hasn't answered me yet. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep asking. Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Number two. Our prayers should flow from a righteous life. I'll tell you why many people have anemic prayer lives. I'll tell you why. We get enamored with the world. And the next thing you know, we lose our righteous appeal with God. And the next thing you know, it's the heavens are as brass. Hey, listen. I'm not saying we're perfect, because we're certainly not, and all God's people said. But we have the righteousness of Christ. And righteous simply means right living. Right living. It doesn't mean you're never going to stumble. It doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake. It just means you don't constantly live in that mistake. I think about in 1 John where it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. People say, you mean if you've been saved, you never sin? That is not what that means. It means you don't live a lifestyle of continual sin. And as I've said many times, the difference between a Christian and not is our attitude towards sin. I'll tell you what, when I wrong God, Brother Horst, I feel bad about it. I know I did wrong. Lord, forgive me. Boy, it's talking here. It should flow from a righteous life. And I love this third point. It can accomplish so much. It can accomplish so much. This continual potency in prayer. It says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I referenced there Ephesians 3, really 3:20 and 21. Talks about God who can do above all that we could ask or think. Boy, that's prayer, amen. But what God could do through prayer. God could do anything, amen.
Yeah.
God can do the impossible through prayer. So connecting properly in prayer. Continual potency in prayer. And then lastly tonight, and this is encouraging, common passions in prayer. I don't know about you, but when you read about Elijah coming on the scene in 1 Kings 17, you're just like, this is a spiritual Superman. What a giant. I mean, just awesome. Thank God for these verses. Many times, verses in the Old Testament get light shed on them by the verses in the New Testament. I think especially of the character of Lot. If you were to look at Lot from Genesis 12 through Genesis chapter 19, you would be convinced that Lot was an unsaved man, guaranteed. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says that he vexed his righteous soul daily with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Meaning he was saved, but he lived in Sodom. Okay, the New Testament sheds light. I'm glad for the New Testament shedding light on Elijah here. In verse 17 it says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So what did it say there on your sheet? Elijah was not Superman, but just a man who prayed. Brother Tom, he had probably the same fears you and I do. He had the same shortcomings, Brother Lem, as you and I do. He was a man of like passions. You know what that means? He was just made of the same stuff as we are.
Yep.
He had red blood pumping through his veins. And please don't give me a lesson if blood is really blue. I don't need to know. It's always red when it comes out of me. I know that. He was not Superman, but a man who prayed and saw God do great things. It's one of the great comforts you take, at least I take from the apostles, is their humanity. And yet, God used them. You know, God only has sinners to work with. And yet He does work with them. And yet He does desire for us to pray and see great answers to prayer. Have you ever read the verse in John where Jesus says, greater works than these shall you do? Isn't that an amazing verse? You think, greater works than Jesus, who healed everybody that came to Him? I was reading a fellow named Vance Havner, and he talked about this verse, and he talked about prayer. He talked about this verse, and he says, you know, Jesus had a 3-year ministry just in a little tiny area. Just in a little tiny area. Just called out His 12. And he was talking about, really referring to those men out there that had small ministries, not to be discouraged and all that. But think about it. Today, on my phone, I have an app for a radio station called FBN, Fundamental Broadcasting Network, out of North Carolina. It's one of the finest stations you could ever listen to. This week, Brother Tom, I got a note that said they are in their 143rd country. 143rd country. I forget, it was a country in Africa. Djibouti, that's what it was. Djibouti in Africa. Now, that's pretty great. That's pretty great. What God could do through prayer. Mm-hmm. You know what? Miss Laura, God could bless your situation through prayer.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Hey, God could bless our missionaries in ways that we could never imagine.
Yeah.
You know what, though? We got to pay the price. We got to pray the price.
Yeah.
Get down and pray and make time for prayer. I was reading today, Brother Criswell, who's with the Lord now, he said prayer ought to be like to the Christian, just like breathing or eating or sleeping, just part of who we are, talking to God. And he mentioned this. He said, how strange it would be to live in a house with people and never talk. And yet that's the way sometimes we treat the Lord.
That's right.
We go through the day and we think, did I just ask for the blessing on the food? Did I talk to him at all? Think of that song, old song, how long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long have you prayed? How long have you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this wonderful resource of prayer. We pray your blessing upon us tonight. Lord, help us to pray. Help us to make time for prayer. Lord, I think of our busy moms and dads. Oh, how we need to pray. We need to pray. Help us to put the cares of the world aside and to pray. We thank you for all that you give to us, your wonderful blessings upon us. Lord, help us to allocate this wonderful resource of prayer. We'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 220, ladies. 220. Amen. Sweet.